In case you guys couldn't hear, Pastor was thanking everyone for these great decorations this morning, so I wanted to make sure his gratitude made it out. This is absolutely beautiful. I did not even know that they had blue poinsettias. Didn't even know they existed. I may regret this, but I'm going to use technology this week. The last couple times I tried using technology, it didn't fare well for me. But I figured, you know, the Lord is a redeemer. Perhaps I should give it a second chance. If you want to go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 3, that's going to be where our text is found. Now, this should be one of the easiest texts you've ever had to find in all your life. Start at the beginning, and you've only got to go three chapters into the book. In case you didn't know, this is the Christmas season. So I am one of these people who absolutely loves Christmas. I'm probably one of the guys that gets on your nerves because I start listening to Christmas music as soon as anyone will play it. And for those of you who do not know, Pandora radio station online, they will start playing it whenever you click the button. So back in early October, I was listening to Christmas music. As soon as the Hallmark Channel begins to play Christmas movies, there is nothing else on my TV at my house. And it will be that way until they stop. I love Christmas. And you know, like I understand some of you don't. You know, that's your problem. But I understand that some people, Christmas, you know, it carries a certain amount of pain with it. It carries maybe some bad memories. It might carry a lot of stress because we tend to get really busy this time of year. But what I hope to do today is to make you love Christmas too. So my kids, they do not like watching Hallmark as much as I do. It gets in the middle of my kids' spirit, free reign, Netflix series, you know, with the horse riding and all that stuff. It gets in the middle of some cheerleading show Kennedy likes to watch. They don't understand why I just love Christmas so much. I mean, they like receiving, don't get me wrong. They like decorating, putting a Christmas, they like all those things. But Kennedy asked me, she said, Daddy, she said, why so early? I said, honey, I love it. And so it really challenged me as a dad to think about, why do I love Christmas so much? Is this unhealthy? No, it's not unhealthy. If it is, I don't need therapy. Get over it. I love Christmas. Why is it that Christmas is such a wonderful time of the year? You know, Kennedy and I were talking on the way to school one morning, and we were talking about that. And so I said, honey, I think one of the reasons why I love it so much is because for this brief season, unless you live in my house, it's a quarter of the year. But for this brief season, humanity, like the world, takes on the image of Christ. And most of them don't even know it. Think about what we do at Christmas. We give presents and we give gifts and we spend so much of our effort. We spend so much of our resources. People even go into debt buying gifts for other people. Whether they really mean to be or not, those are really selfless acts. They are really opportunities where we take and we think of others more so than ourselves. And so for this brief window of time, the world looks like a place that I wish it was all the time. Because we think of other people before ourselves. We consider the needs and desires of other humans to be more important than what I want. Now, I know some of you don't really feel that way when you're at the mall Christmas shopping. But you need to remember that's why you're buying these gifts. Because you're blessing other people. And so that line of thinking, it kept pushing me and I was, you know, just continuing to challenge myself. So why do we do this? Why do we buy gifts? Why is this one of the ways that we choose to celebrate Christmas? What are we celebrating? Oh, I know. Jesus is the reason for the season. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you guys. That's cool. And I saw it on somebody's shirt here today, so I'm not going to get sideways about it. But I worry we say that phrase so much we don't understand what that means. That it's like, you know, I'm going to mess up my military branches here. So I know it's the Army that has basically like their own amen, right? Right. They got their, you know, somebody says something and then they go, is it hoorah? Hoorah? Sir? That's the Marines. Okay. I knew it's one of them too. It's one of the guys that wears greens and carry guns. But it's like, what does that mean? I worry that we in the church, we've just been taught that we're supposed to say, Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's our pushback against the world. And so again, I begin to challenge myself, well, why is Jesus the reason for the season? Oh, because he was born right now. Okay, yeah, duh. No, we're going to get deeper than that. So why does it matter? I have all of these thoughts running through my head as I'm watching my Hallmark Christmas movies and listening to my Christmas music. So just so you know, this is where all this stuff has been percolating over the last couple of months. And when Pastor asked me, you know, he's like, hey, can you take this service? I said, yeah, sure. Let me ask the Lord, what's he going to say? And so I came across this picture. And I'm going to show you the picture in just a few minutes. I'll tell you, Jeff, in just a few minutes, I'm going to show you this picture. And some of you may have even seen it yourselves. I saw it on social media, so I bet several of you have seen it. But I don't know if it spoke to you the way it spoke to me. But as I looked at this picture, and it's an artist, it's a painting. It's not anything that's actually happened. It's a painting on a canvas, and it has all kind of ideology in it. But as I looked at that picture, I went, oh, my goodness. I understand why Jesus is the reason for the season. So in this picture, go ahead, put it up there. I'm going to describe it to you because I'm worried some of you may not be able to see it very well. But I want to describe this to you. So as you look at that picture, listen to the explanation of the work. This is an artist's rendering of an encounter that never happened. It's completely imaginary to put these two figures on the same canvas at the same period of time. But there's a very pointed message in this. The two ladies in the painting are Eve, you know, from Adam and Eve, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. They stand face to face in the complete character of how we remember them from Scripture. Eve stands looking at Mary with a longing and broken look on her face, while the serpent, notice, the serpent intertwines around her legs and her feet to trip her up. Mary stands 9 months pregnant with her head bowed in humility, the peace of God on her face. Mary holds one hand on Eve's cheek and the other she brings Eve's hand to her belly. Eve stands holding the half-eaten fruit in one hand while the other hand rests on Mary's belly. See, while that serpent has strategically wrapped himself around Eve's legs, causing her to trip and to fall with her next move, he is also pictured with his head firmly under the heel of Mary. Notice that. That's the part I'm afraid is hard for you to see. So his head is squarely under the heel of Mary. In this imaginary scene, we see a remarkable encounter that shouts through history from the beginning of humanity all the way to us today. See, we all can identify with Eve. Every one of us at some point in our life have chosen ourselves and what we want and what we thought was best over God's plan. Every one of us have been faced with the opportunity to honor God or to choose self. Every one of us in this room knows the feeling of having let God down. Every one of us, we know the feeling of brokenness, The feeling of that hopeless feeling of having become disconnected from our relationship with God. However, just as Eve is pictured here having an encounter with Christmas, so can each of us. So as we think about the first Christmas and all that it means to us today and how Jesus is the reason for the season, let's consider the real need for the holiday that we celebrate this December. Beginning just three chapters into the Bible, we already see that mankind needs a Savior. So today, let's look at God's design, man's disruption, and God's reconciliation. Our text is verse 15 of chapter 3. And really, I'm going to read the whole verse, but we're going to focus in on the end of it. But verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." That verse I read to you, in case you didn't recognize it, this is in the creation story. This is at the beginning, the fall of man. And so what we're going to look at first is God's perfect design. Because I think it's important. If we're going to understand how wonderful Christmas is, we have to understand where we came from. So God's perfect design. In the first two chapters of Genesis, we read about the marvelous act of creation. The perfection that was in God's design. In chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, we see God speak out of nothing in 6 days all that we know today. Everything from light to jellyfish. Think of the magnitude of his creativity. See, everything that you and I might choose to create, we've got a scratch pad starting board of what he created in 6 days from nothing. But think of the creativity of our God that we serve. Think of how marvelous this existence was. He created all of this. And then he determined that he needed a different kind of species that would manage everything. And that's when he made Adam. He didn't speak Adam, he made Adam. He made Adam with his hands. He got down in the dirt and played with clay and made mankind. And then he breathed his own breath, breathed the breath of life into humanity. Present in God's perfect design was intimacy between mankind and God. This is a critical thought, guys. God created man to be different than the animals. Now, he loves animals. Y'all don't mistake what I'm saying. Okay? He loves your dog, your cat, and your horse. Okay. He loves cows more than chicken because Chick-fil-A is not a burger joint. But anyways. I love when the wave is slow. It's good. He created mankind in his own image. That doesn't mean that we are as equals to God, but that we are relational to him. In another place in Scripture, it says that we were created for his pleasure. Here in Genesis, it also distinguishes between God speaking all of the organisms into existence and him forming man with his own hands. I believe that this reflects his desire for personal, intimate communion with his creation. With mankind. We were favored above the plants, animals, and rock formations. So when someone tells you that a tree is worth as much as us, you tell them no. God spoke trees. God made man. Now I like trees. Don't get me wrong. Don't you cut a tree down unless you need to. Sorry, that's my own little political rant. I'm sorry. We're created especially in his eyes and by his hands. We know from other passages that God often visited with Adam and Eve in the garden, and he walked with them and he talked with them. This too is evidence that God's perfect design was for an intimate relationship with his creation. So why is that relevant? Why is it worthwhile to draw our attention to God's marvelous design and the fact that intimacy with mankind was a critical component? We need to understand what was lost when sin entered the world. That's why it's important. We need to get how good it was so that we can understand how bad the fall of man was. Because I'm going to tell you something. The fall of man was bad. And I've never birthed a child. I barely stayed conscious while my wife did it twice. I know it's bad. But that's not the worst of what we lost. And I don't like breaking up dirt. I don't like paying for groceries. Like, I really wish that things were a lot easier to come by. All this, everything it takes to produce a crop. Like, I wish it was different. But that's not the worst thing that we lost. The worst thing we lost with the fall of man when we fell was we lost that intimate communion with God, with our Father. That communication that was purposed, that was put in place, that was so beautifully designed by the great Creator, when that was disrupted, that's the great loss. His plan was perfect, but we, mankind, failed, and we altered the plan. With man's willful act of disobedience, the intimate relationship with God and man was done seemingly irreparable harm. In one poor move, mankind cut himself off from communion with God. So that was God's perfect design, was to have intimacy with man. Now, sin entered the world. Man had one rule to follow. You had one job, right? Man had one rule to follow, and he failed miserably. Do you understand that? I take for granted sometimes I'm talking to people who know the Bible inside and out. But you understand that the way this whole garden thing worked, God put them in the best garden you could ever imagine. Gave them dominion over everything. So you can eat anything you want to. There's one tree. It's right there in the middle of the garden, and don't you touch it. Can you imagine being in a place where you could eat all the mango and pineapple you want? I'm just saying. Can you imagine being in a place where, you know, I want an apple, there's an apple, you know? The best kinds of fruits I've been in some Central American and some Caribbean countries where they got, y'all ever heard of star fruit? Y'all seen that in the grocery store once? I seen that stuff growing on a tree, man. That's the craziest stuff in the world. It's like a 3D star, like 3D printed right there hanging on a tree limb. Just walk through the garden and eat junk like that. You know what I'm saying? God said there's one tree you can't eat. Don't touch it. Now you all know, like my youngins would have been laying up under that tree all the time going, Hey, y'all, it's just evidence of mankind. Yeah. What were they doing anywhere near that tree? When Pastor was my youth pastor, we used to try and paint him into a box about what you can and can't do. You know how teenagers will do. Y'all be good to Pastor Paul. But we tried to paint him into a box. Well, can you do this and can you do that? And he entertained it for a little while. And I guess he got frustrated. And he said, let me put it to you like this. You guys are trying to see how close to the fence you can get, right? I said, well, it sounds worse when you say it that way, but I guess so. He said, you know, if you get too close to the fence, you'll be straddling it, and you'll be walking on top of it. And why would you ever find yourself in a position where you could so easily fall into danger when all you got to do is get as far away from that fence as you can? Can we go back to playing games, sir? It just got real. But here we find them, close enough to the tree to be tempted. Genesis chapter 3, the whole chapter chronicles the fall of man. It's in this fateful event that sin entered the world and forever changed the course of mankind. One rule, and we couldn't even live by that. In this perfect world, God set one boundary and they crossed it. He set one limitation, but couldn't live up to that standard. Adam and Eve both yielded to temptation. I know a lot of times we like to blame the woman, but we all know it's really the snake's fault. That's why I kill every snake I see. No, I'm kidding. Both man and woman failed. If y'all will allow me just a little bit of imagery, you know, I love to make you imagine things. Some of you, I apologize now, this may get a little gross for you, but you're gonna go with me. Because I want you to understand what happened in the garden here. So imagine when we were on our trip out in Montana, we went to Two Medicine Lake. And Two Medicine Lake's a beautiful lake. The water is crystal clear. You know, we were standing there on the shore so we could see a little ways out. And man, it's like you couldn't even see where the water started. So imagine being at Two Medicine Lake and being out on a boat, because I'm sure out in the middle of the lake, you can probably see 40 or 50 feet straight down, see the pebbles on the bottom of the lake bed. But imagine being out there in that lake. And you know, we all got that one part of our family that they don't know how to act. They don't know how to behave. Kind of puts me in mind of maybe that Lampoon Christmas Vacation, them kind of people, you know. So we all got that one part of our family. I'm not going to say who that part of our family is. But you got them. So imagine them. Think about them. And they pulled a camper up beside the lake. And they decided that they're going to start their two-week vacation with you with empty tanks on the RV. And so they hooked their discharge hose up to the RV. And they discharged it into that beautiful lake. Because you know what comes out of that, right? I don't have to get that graphic. You get it, right? Okay. That's what happened. We had this beautiful lake. Right out the septic tank into the lake. Okay. Remember, we're going to get back to why I love Christmas. Just got to go with me. God's perfect design was intimacy with mankind. We, mankind, messed that up. We drug all the sewage of sin into our world. We like to pick on Adam and Eve a lot of times. But frankly speaking, I think any one of us would have done exactly what they did. We like to think we're better than they would have been. But the truth is that's what we came from. So it's pretty haughty to think we'd have been much different. These are people that walked with God and they messed it up. Literally walked with God. Didn't, you know, walk with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Physically walked with God and they messed it up. As sin entered the world, with it came its just compensation, which is death. By one man, death for all mankind entered the world. I've shared this verse with you many times. Maybe you're very familiar with it. Romans 6:23 says, and this is what I begin to think as I'm rolling through this. I'm just remembering these things that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As sin entered the world, with it came death, a completely different existence. A complete separation between God and man. And since according to Romans 3:23, we're all sinners, then we all have earned death. Every one of us in this room today has earned death. Romans 5:12 also says that it was by Adam that sin were brought into the world. Clearly, this is one of the very low spots of our human history. Just three chapters into the Bible. Like, let that sink in. Three chapters into the Bible, we hitting the bottom. Next time you think mankind's really great, you just remember that. Three chapters into our Bible, we done messed it all up. But as we move through our study, as we complete this today, we're going to see that there is a cure for the ailment. Think back to the picture that started this whole chain of thoughts. Why do we find Mary and Eve caught in this moment where Eve's heart is heavy, but Mary is graciously introducing her to the baby in her womb? Because Jesus is the cure. When we say Jesus is the reason for the season, I hope that deep down in your heart, you understand that Jesus is the cure for our world. Although the wages of sin is still death. See, that didn't change. Nothing about that changed. We now have hope in that the gift of God is eternal life. Because of Jesus, Satan no longer has power over mankind. That if we will yield to Jesus, then we can overcome anything that he throws our way. So let's be honest. In the garden, Satan got us. That was our ultimate, huge, probably never going to mess up that big again, failure. That altercation brought sin into the world, and with it came death and destruction. It's not one of those moments that however, all hope has not been lost. God sent his son into the world to save it. He sent Jesus to buy us back. Jesus was the only one who could make the payment, and he did. When he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross, and then rose from the dead, he secured the payment for our sins. So I know for a lot of you, those statements were just review. You've heard that before. You know it. You understand it. You've experienced God's grace. But I think it's important that we take times like this to reflect on that. Because we too can grow dull. We can become so accustomed to God's grace that we forget how marvelous it really is. Adam and Eve earned death for all of us in one day. But God refused to let that be the final answer. See, Genesis 3:15 contains within it the first messianic prophecy. I don't know if you knew that or not. That's the first promise of a coming Messiah. It is here, while handing out judgment to the serpent, the woman, and the man, that God laces in a beautiful promise and foreshadows the arrival of Christ. Genesis 3:15 tells us several things about the world moving forward from this moment. First, it discloses that there will be a long-term battle, ongoing struggle between good and evil. Clearly, the scripture says that God will put hostility between the woman and the serpent and their offspring. This foretells of the struggle between good and evil from generation to generation. This isn't just an in the garden kind of thing. This is why we battle good and evil today. Then God speaks of the offspring of the woman, which alludes to the virgin birth of Jesus. Lastly, and most thrilling, this verse tells us that while Satan will experience some success through the striking at his heel, at Jesus, Eve's offspring will have the ultimate victory as he crushes Satan's head. As we bring this to a close, I want to share with you something from an Advent devotion. So remember I told you, I've been kind of rustling over the last couple months because I started Christmas earlier than all of you. Been wrestling with why is this? Because I hate doing things. Like when I become aware that I'm doing something just for tradition's sake, I always challenge myself and ask, why are you doing it? Is the tradition worthwhile? Is it really that important? And so as I begin to think through why do I love Christmas so much, I really need to know, is my heart in the right place? And so when I saw this picture, the Holy Spirit just did something in my heart, and it's still kind of hard for me to put words to what he really did. But he began to show me that the beauty of Christmas is the arrival of a Messiah. Well, what makes that so beautiful? I mean, that's cool. I like babies, you know, especially when they're other people's. But what makes that so special? The Lord laid on my heart and said, in order to understand why Christmas is so good, you need to understand why the curse is so bad. That's how we end up way back in Genesis chapter 3, where everything changed, where the game changed. And you got to understand, you know, we had this great, we had a great get up. It was awesome. Like, I know through the Holy Spirit today, we have great intimacy with the Lord, but I want you to just imagine what life was like in the garden when Jesus would come down and walk among them. I mean, and so I began to been processing and thinking on that. And then my wife, she started this Advent devotion with our kids. You know, every day there's a new piece of the story to talk about. And I believe it was day 3 of the devotion. She said, because she knew all the things I've been kicking around and thinking about, she said, you need to hear this. And so I read it, and I'm going to share it with you. This, I'm going to read this word for word. I didn't write this, okay? And this is an excerpt from a story Bible. So you won't find, in fact, I'll be honest, when I read this, I looked at her and went, how'd they get all that from 3:15? So I did a fair amount of research to validate, okay, I get how they arrived there. So you're more than welcome to do it too. But this is what that devotion said. Before they left the garden, because remember right after this, God boots them out of the garden and says, you know, I can't run the risk of you guys now eating from the tree of life or you'll never die. You got to go. So he kicked them out of the garden. Part of the punishment, right? It says, before they left the garden, God whispered a promise to Adam and Eve. It will not always be so. I will come to rescue you. And when I do, I'm going to do battle against the snake. I will get rid of the sin and the dark and of the sadness you let in here. I'm coming back for you. And he would. One day, God himself came. Remember, Jesus, one of Jesus' names is God is with us. So when Jesus came, he came back for us. When I read that, I knew exactly what God wanted to say to us today. It's Christmas time. And we're all geared up. We're all excited to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We're ready to celebrate the good news that brought great joy to all people. But many of us really don't understand just how great that news is. We've got a surface level appreciation for the statement that Jesus is the reason for the season. What God wanted to do in us today was to remind us of what he's done. Real simple picture. God and man had a great relationship, and man walked out of it. And when man walked out of it, he walked so far that he could never get back. The chasm, the valley between man and God was so big that man did not have the resources, the ability to get back to that place. So God could have thrown his hands up and said, man, that's it, I'm done. I mean, he created the whole earth. He made man. He could do it again if he wanted to. But he didn't. He set about coming to get us. Let that sink in. He set about coming to get us. We messed it up so bad, we couldn't fix it. He had every right to write us off. But he didn't. He came, he paid an exorbitant amount to get us. And And we set aside this time of year, every year, to remember that. You know, at Christmas, we talk about a baby. And at Easter, we talk about a Savior. I'm just going to lay it on you guys. He was a Savior there at Christmas too. And if we don't have Christmas, Easter don't mean a whole lot. He couldn't die if he didn't come. So God's message to us today is that I came back for you. I came back for you. And that's why we celebrate. That's why I love Christmas. Because I get to remember that you came back for me. I'm asking if you will, if you'll bow your heads. Just being honest, I struggle with, you know, Lord, how am I gonna close this down? Even as I woke up this morning, I said, man, you can't tell them all this stuff and just let them walk out. You can't do that. So I got a real simple invitation to give you. And y'all know me, don't I try not to make it complicated. While you've been sitting in here this morning, if you've realized, see, I believe the Holy Spirit, he walks around while we preach. And I believe he touches you on the shoulder if he's got something to say to you. And this morning, if while I was talking, if you realized that you had not accepted that sacrifice. So let me word that another way. If you went, wait a minute. I could have had close, intimate relationship with Jesus, with this God who created us. I could have had that. But I don't. If you realize that you've never asked Jesus, hey man, can you apply that payment to my life too? Then I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to do that. Because it really is that simple. The Bible says that whoever believes shall be saved. It doesn't say who's perfect. It doesn't say who gets it all right. It doesn't say who looks the most like the church. It doesn't say any of that. It says that whosoever believes in Jesus. So just in case there's someone here this morning who says, man, I want that kind of relationship with a God who spoke this place into existence. You know, every head's supposed to be bowed. Everybody got your eyes closed. I want this to be just between me, you, and God. So if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you. That's why I ask everybody to close their eyes. But if that's you, if you go, man, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I need somebody to build that bridge between me and God. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to know. I want you to raise your hand. All right. Anybody else? Man, that gift is free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. For those of you that raised your hand, I want you to know that it's not complicated. We're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask everybody to pray it. That way we ain't singling nobody out. I'm going to ask everybody to, it's a simple prayer. And then if you pray that prayer for the first time, if you're asking the Lord in your heart, man, make time, come talk to me. Come talk to me, come talk to Pastor. We love to help get you on the right track. So everybody, if you will, we're just gonna pray together. I want you to pray it out loud, all right? Those of you who have prayed it 100 times, make it 101. It's gonna be good, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done today. You showed me who I am. More importantly, you showed me who you are. I'm sorry for what I've done. Please come into my life and transform me. Help me to be all that you created. And I'm so thankful, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody.